Well, amen. Have you had a good day? Okay. Appreciate that. We are absolutely honored and delighted to have one of our own here tonight, Blake Kazmaier from Jesus Image, the school in the Orlando, Florida area. And this is year four. His fourth year, he is a leader there. So he's gone through 3 years of school there, and now God is using Blake to help others who are being called there to be equipped. And come on up here a moment. We want to pray over you before you minister. One thing that's such a great joy of pastoring is to be able to see God's blessings manifest in the lives of the people in your church family. And it just seems like just a couple of months ago when you and Christine were married over here. And it's been how long now?
Almost 5 years.
Yes, wow. So time is flying, and the Lord has blessed you with little Valor down there. He's a dandy. But we are so proud of you, and thank you for the yes that was in your heart when God told you to leave everything you knew to go there to receive what He has for you, to be equipped. And so stretch your hand this way. Father, we bless Blake and Christine, and thank you so much for them. And Joshua, too, Lord, who's been there preparing. We just speak blessings over them tonight. We're so grateful, Lord, for their obedience to you. Lord, I'm so grateful for just the depth of love that I witness in their life for you and for others. Lord, I thank you for how you've opened the door for them to deposit into the lives of others now from the abundance of what they've received. So I pray that you would bless Blake as he ministers the Word of God to us tonight. Just may your words fill his mouth. May the Holy Spirit lead him. Our hearts are saying, yes, Lord, speak to us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And we welcome, you've got a bunch of your family here tonight, and we welcome all of you too. Amen.
Bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Eddie. Wow. I make it pretty common when I get the opportunity to share to usually tears flow, but to me it's a good compass of if my heart's doing good or not. You know, if the tears are running, I know my heart's usually in a good place because that's how I get touched by the Lord when I'm spending time with Him. And I was just looking around the room tonight, and you know, I have my mom, I have my dad, I have my grandma here, I have my brother, my wife, my son, so many friends. I have Papa Joe and Papa Doc and Miss June and Pastor Eddie and Mickey and Papa Larry and Deborah. So many people who've linked arms with us, and people who've seen me at my very best and my very worst and who never gave up on me. And I feel the love of God tonight, and we were singing about it so beautifully in worship. And that revelation has become so real to me as I've had my own son now. And I was just telling Papa Doc I can hold my little boy in my arms and be so overwhelmed by the love of the Father, because I was telling him I would never let anything happen to him. I would never give him away, especially for my enemies. The scripture says that while we were yet enemies of God, he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die for us. That on my darkest day, he looked at me and he said, yes, I want you. There's an image in you, and it was lost, and I died to restore it. That he didn't just die for my sins, he died for me. And the sin was in the way, and he took it away. So Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your great and mighty love, Father. We thank you that you're in this building, Lord. We thank you for all the history in the room, Lord. That you're holding us tonight, Lord. That you've never let us go. That on our darkest day, Lord, you looked at us and you said, that's my son, that's my daughter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Would we choose the ancient path, Lord, the ancient gospel, Lord, would it be in our hearts tonight? Would you restore to us, Lord, true faith and true love, Lord?
Put your love in our hearts tonight, God. Let us see you, Lord, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And show us tonight, Father, who we are in you. How you put your glory in us, Lord. Be with me, Lord. I receive your grace. I receive your peace, Lord. Thank you that you live within me, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 I did this last time I preached here, but I like to steal a joke or two from Pastor Bill Johnson, if that's okay. Just to keep it light in the beginning. So this one goes, the preacher said to his congregation, I want everyone who wants to go to heaven to stand up. So everyone stood up except for one old man in the front. So the preacher said, I said, I want everyone who wants to go to heaven to stand up, please. The old man in the front row remained seated. Finally, the preacher said, Brother Williams, I said, everyone who wants to go to heaven, stand up. And the old man said, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were getting a group together to go now. So he has some wits about him. But tonight, the Lord has really put on my heart. I want to touch just briefly on honor, just some principles that I think that have blessed me since I've been at GSM, things that I've learned, things that I think would bless the house here. Because I don't know if you guys have noticed, but leadership really is under attack in the church. And there is a lot of moral failure in the church, so we should pray for our leaders. But, you know, if you do see all the bad, when we do see a good, godly leader, how much more should we honor it? How much more should we give attention to that and honor the good that God's doing? And so I put honor as a principle to be practiced. I believe it is one of the love languages of heaven. And that honor brings out the best in everything around us when we practice it and not just know about it. And some things you have to practice and work at. And I just want to honor the leaders in the room. And I already mentioned, you know, Pastor Eddie and Mickey and Papa Doc and Papa Larry. Honor you guys, and I love you. And thank you guys for always being there for me. I see the Father in you. You guys have always shown the heart of the Father to me. And it's a good reminder to know that our pastors, they're not perfect. They're not the Lord Jesus, but they are appointed by the Lord. And 1 Timothy 5:17-18 says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out grain. And also the laborer is worthy of his wages. I also included a quote from the Didache, which is a second generation patristic writing of the early church. And it says, my child, remember day and night the one who speaks to you the word of God. Honor him as you would honor the Lord, for where his lordship is taught, the Lord is present. That was written sometime between the year 50 and 120 AD. And just some practical things, you know, do we pray for our leaders? Do we pray for leadership in our life? I know when people pray for me, when my students pray for me, it encourages me, it fills me, it blesses me. You know, how we address leaders is important. I've seen Pastor Michael do it with Pastor Benny and model it so well that, you know, I've been even at dinner with him, and Pastor Michael will take in his own house the lowest seat and give Pastor Benny the highest seat. And just to honor that, you know, to say, you're greater than me, you're older than me, I honor you, you're a leader in my life, and you always will be. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And here's one. Can we receive the word of God well and correction well? Can we align under the vision that the Lord has given to our leaders? Can I serve another man's vision, not so I can gain something in return? However, knowing that if I do serve another man's vision well, God will also entrust me with my own vision one day. And do we honor the fathers and the mothers in the house, the people that have gone before us, that have set the standard and the example? Even when we don't agree with him. I was talking to Papa Larry the other day, and I told him this quote that I hear, and because he, you know, he's never shied away from giving me the truth, but he always does it in mercy and love. And you know, the quote goes like, everyone wants a spiritual father in their life until the father tells them no on something. And it's so true, but a humble son can receive it well and carry it and receive the correction. And I did have a word for Pastor Eddie and Mickey, I believe, that I really felt like the Lord was going to give you guys strategy in this season. I saw specifically, Pastor Eddie, that the Lord would impress upon your heart different men's groups, whether it's, hey, let's show up, you know, next Tuesday to come and pray, to come and do this, and the Lord would give you directives. I saw different outreach groups being so pointed and targeted in their outreach in the city and people being touched and women's prayer meetings that the Lord's going to give more more voice and leadership and direction to get more accomplished in less time and more efficiently, to really engage the heart of the Father, and that that would just happen in the house, and that you guys, without having to do a lot of hard work and labor, would truly know what it means that the Lord would build his house, and that you guys are a house with a lot of wisdom and elders here, and that the Lord would start bringing the youth. And I really believe that for Grace House. And we just stretch our hands and pray for Pastor Eddie and Mickey tonight. Lord, we thank you. I thank you for Grace House, Lord. I thank you for the leadership here. Bless them, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank you for resting upon them, Lord, and giving them strategy, and wisdom, Lord, and plans. Let them rest in your peace, Lord. I pray that they would have dreams going forward. Now, I thank you, Lord, that I'm even seeing just a crazy unity, Lord, coming upon the team as the team grows together. That the Lord's going to give you, God, such a singular vision to come up under. And that he'll gird you and come up under you. It won't be hard, that you'll find the ease of it. And there's a scripture in the Old Testament that says it's like gliding upon butter, that it would be so smooth and easy what the Lord's going to do for you guys. So I thank you, Lord, for them. I thank you for what they mean to this community, Lord, and the impact that Grace House is going to have, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I wanted to transition. You know, my heart really burns. Something that's really grown since I've been at Jesus Image is just the heart for the true gospel, and that is the Lord Jesus himself. And to not depart from this, you know, Paul would write, don't depart from the things you've learned. Speaking of salvation and the gospel, the simple gospel. And so I wrote some things down here. I have my phone and iPad, so bear with me. I've never preached with these before. We're going to go for it. And the first thing I would ask is, how many of you believe here tonight that we're at a crossroads in America right now and in the world? And I believe, like Esther, we have to recognize the greatness that our day is demanding of us, that we have a choice to respond rightly, that, you know, in 2020, the church really got it wrong in a lot of ways. But here we are again at another crossroads. And this is funny, but I put, this might step on some toes tonight, but that's okay. If your toes get crushed, I know a pastor here has a healing ministry, Pastor Eddie. The real reason, or the real answer to the downward spiral we're witnessing in our country, doesn't lie within choosing between the right president. The mission of the church is far greater than this. We must recognize the greatness of our day. The Lord reminded me of Jeremiah's pleading cry for his people to choose the ancient path, and that if they did, it would go well with them. I'm not talking about the way things used to be when we were younger, but about the ancient gospel that it seems so much of the church has forgotten. Do you ever consider why John the Baptist was called by Jesus the greatest prophet born of men? He didn't call down fire. He didn't shut up the heavens from raining. He never had the yielded ear of a king of influence. He didn't do any miraculous feats that other prophets had done, yet John was called the greatest among men by the Lord Jesus. John was greater than all of these because he knew his timing, because of his message of the Son of God, and because of his proximity to Jesus. And it would be irresponsible for us as a church to keep choosing the paths that bear no eternal fruit. Imagine the declaration of John to announce the arrival of what they had waited on for years. This was his declaration. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. My generation would say, John understood the assignment. And I think five of you will get that one. But this declaration was huge because, you know, in the Old Covenant, the people would, Paul writes that there would be the priest standing at their duty day and night to fulfill the sacrificial code. But also as a family, you would take a spotless lamb that you would work a whole year to keep from getting damaged. It would be spotless and perfect, and you would tend to this. And so it represents your hard work, your own effort, things you do. And for thousands of years, they're hearing about the Messiah, and suddenly John, who hasn't performed any miracles that we know of, comes out and declares this. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. As if to say, finally, there is one Lamb who finished it. There's one Lamb who finishes the job forever. We don't have to work. It's not our own works. It's not our own ability. But there's one Lamb here now. This is the ancient gospel. This is what the people hoped for years and years and years. And that's why John was the greatest. And we have to carry and marry ourselves to the ancient faith of the church, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't depart from it. And I wrote, we can't only beg God to change a system, a nation, or a city. We must open up our hearts as a man or a woman of God and say, God, change me from the inside out. If it was only about God changing everything around us while men sit around and do nothing, then it would be changing for the better everywhere now. It is not enough to just know great things, but those that know that their God do great things. We cannot change anything by behaving like the things we want to change. We must become what we are predestined to become, to be conformed to the image of His Son. As Billy Graham said, I follow a living Christ, not a dead Christ, one who's put a song in my mouth to sing, a flag to follow, and a reason to live. I was at church a couple weeks ago, and Pastor Michael had these two girls from youth come up and pray. And they were praying with such fire and zeal. And I began to get convicted because I remember when I was 16, 17, 18, when I would experience these seasons of God, I didn't know anything, but I was so hungry. And you know, something happens. You know, life has a way of just beating you down. Offense comes in, hurt. You know, you didn't get the healing you believed that you were going to get. You didn't have this. You know, a family falls apart. And life comes in and you lose that hunger. And I said, Lord, I used to have so much zeal and fire before this mistake and that and this life thing. And, you know, that check didn't come in. And He said, son, you go from glory to glory. And that's not that you get amazing blessings, though you can and you will. But the glory to glory that the scripture speaks of is that we behold in a mirror the glory of God, that we go from one degree of glory to look like Him, to be conformed to His image, to another degree of that same glory. That God had a plan for me and you and everyone here to look like the Lord Jesus, to be an image bearer, to be salt and light in the earth, to actually live with the love of God in our hearts. If the gospel's real to me, it's going to impact how I talk to my wife. It's going to impact how I love my baby, how I honor my father and my mother. You know, the scripture says that love is patient, it's kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast. It doesn't seek its own. It keeps no record of wrongs. How many records do we hold against each other? How much wrong do we keep? But if we would see how much the Lord has forgiven us, we would let it go. We would have an open hand about it. We would live not, we would wake up every morning and live not for ourselves, not for what someone can do for me. I shouldn't wake up every morning for what Christine can do for me. I should wake up to be love, to love my wife, to love the world around me. Because that's what He's done for me. This is the ancient gospel that impacts us. And if we want to change a nation, we don't do it by debating and arguing and posting on Facebook. We do it by crying out, Father, make me look like Your Son. And it will impact me and it will change the way I act at home. And you fall in love with God and things change in your life. You don't act the way you used to act. You don't hang on to anger. And then you look at Jesus every day, and as a young man and young people who struggle today so much with identity and lust and all these things, those things fall when you look at the face of the Father. Every day I'm called to engage with God, that He paid a high price with His blood for union. And I want to read John 17. This was the last prayer that Jesus prayed before He was arrested and taken. So how much weight does this prayer have behind it? This would be the last thing that He prayed to His Father before He was arrested. I'll start in verse 10. It says, Father, all mine are Yours, and Yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to You. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. That's union, friends. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Speaking of Judas, but now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. You know, the ways of God don't make sense. Our Lord is the only one who looks the way he looks. Every other god looks like man because every other god was made by man. You see, gods in other religions and the ancient gods and the Greeks, they're angry, they're lustful, they behave like men. Our God is none of those things. He's the only one that's different, that stands out. That the scripture calls him altogether lovely. That there's nothing dark about him. That in him was life and the life was the light of men. This is the Lord Jesus. This is the Lord. He said, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they may also be sanctified in the truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. That's the gospel that goes through thousands of years, through the generations, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory, listen to this, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them. To us who didn't deserve it. He puts his glory in us. He puts his life in us. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you love me. The Father loves us with the same love that he loved the Lord Jesus. If we would just believe that, what would change? If I woke up every day knowing I have an A+ from God, I start my day with his pleasure. That this is the grace of God. It's not a greasy grace, but the grace of God is a father who rolls up his sleeves and any issues he has, son, we're going to deal with this today. This is the grace of God. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. How did he continue to make it known? He went to the cross, and today he intercedes for us. The Lord Jesus intercedes for all of us today. It's comforting to know that I have one praying for me, who accomplishes everything he has to accomplish. Thank you, Lord. I'm more aware today that life is a vapor as I watch my son grow up. He turned 7 months yesterday. And he's starting to talk a little bit and say words. And he said dada before he said mama. But he says mama a lot more than he says dada. But we're competitive. But I'm so aware of how fast the time is going. I'm 27. I'm almost 28. And the years just go by. A year and a half ago, you know, Christina and I were struggling to get pregnant. We had been trying for about 8 months. We were ready to see a doctor. And we had come, it was our first time in this building here. And Pastor Eddie, we had him pray over us. And he said, this time next year, you're going to have a baby in your arms. And we did. We got pregnant right after that. It's the glory of God. And the time goes by so fast. Yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I remember preaching my first sermon ever that you gave me the opportunity to preach at the other building. And it seems like yesterday, you know. And I'm still probably just as nervous as I was then. But I was telling someone earlier, I've jumped off the cliff enough now to know that I'm nervous. I'm going to jump off the cliff, but I know his nature is always to catch me. It's always to be with me. So I'm okay if the nerves never go away because the Lord is good. But we have one shot at this life, and I don't want to waste it. I want to become what he predestined me to become, which is a son. He put his spirit in me that cries out adoption. that cries out, Abba, Father. It says, that you're my Father and I'm your Son. And this is what you paid for. And this is my everyday. This can be my everyday life. We had Dean Becker, who's the Dean of Divinity at Regent University, speak at our church and our school recently. We have an articulation agreement with Regent where if you do a couple of years of Jesus school, you can get the credits to transfer over to the college. And it was amazing. I wrote one of his quotes down. He says, today we do not choose between God and Satan, but rather we choose between God and ourselves. You know, it says that in the last days men would seek themselves. They would be selfish. Many things demand our attention, but one is worthy of it all. Isaiah 57:10 says, you have wearied yourself in your multiplicity of ways. Jesus made it clear that only one thing is needed, and Mary chose this better part, and it will not be taken from her. When he went to Bethany to rest, Martha, you know, she was in the kitchen, and she was working, and she was doing all the right things. You know, how amazing would it be to make a meal for Jesus? What an honor. But Mary was at his feet, weeping and listening. It says listening to every word that he spoke. And Martha was criticizing the union, the closeness that Mary had with the Lord. And Jesus' reply is outstanding, is that there is one thing that's needed, and she chose the better thing. I don't have to do a million things. I just have to see him. I have to be with him. I have to hear him every day. I read a quote that said, if you run from God in the mornings, you'll rarely find him throughout the day. So every day, every morning I want to seek the Lord. Not just out of duty, but out of relationship and love. You know, discipline is so important in the kingdom. I'm such a free-flowing guy that sometimes discipline is hard for me. But when you really experience the Lord and you know his nature for you and his love for you, discipline turns into delight. And it becomes easy, it's smooth to just get into the presence of God. St. Augustine is one of my favorite early church fathers. I named Valor's little name after him. It's Valor Augustine. And he has this quote that says, you have made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in thee. And so the answer to all of this is to get lost in the beauty of Christ again and his love for you. Paul, or whoever the author of Hebrews was, address in that book was to a distracted community of believers who were obsessed with the angelic. And Paul says we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. I mean, it'd be amazing to experience what it sounds like the church was experiencing, but they took their eyes off of the one thing that really mattered most. And this is speaking of the gospel. And his remedy there was to remind him of the excellencies of Christ. He would write things like, Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God. And I want to share with you guys an experience I had with the Lord in 2020. We had just moved to Orlando, and it was my first year of Jesus school, and I came in with a million opinions and, you know, pride I didn't think I had and all the good stuff, and the Lord worked it out. And, you know, we were in the middle of COVID, and I had a million opinions about that, in the middle of the election season, and I had even more opinions about that. I was debating people on Facebook. And gosh, do you guys ever get the memories on Facebook that pop up, you know, from like 3, 4, or 5 years ago? You see something you post and you're like, oh my gosh, what was I doing? I saw one the other day, I'm like, oh, I got so embarrassed. I was like, oh, what a moron was I? This was just gross, you know, and you have all the regrets. But heaven records your faithfulness, not where you missed it. But I had this vision. I was in worship. And I was really troubled. I think, you know, the candidate that I wanted to win, I just lost, and COVID, and we were getting threatened to, you know, the school was getting threatened by the city to be shut down. And, you know, I had all these emotions in me and a fear and all this stuff. And I said, Lord, you have to do something. What are you going to do? You know, and I was, like I said earlier, we can't just beg God. We have to become what he wants us to become. And I was begging him, like, you have to do something. What's your answer? What's your answer? And I've only had an experience like this one other time in my life, but it's like he yanked my spirit up out of my body into heaven. And I went to this room, and I saw this room. It was immaculate. And in this beautiful gold immaculate room, I saw a cup in the middle of the room, just an old chalice. And I walked up to it. I said, Lord, what is this? And he said, this is the cup of my blood. This is your answer. And it represents the gospel. And it hit me. There is one answer. There's one Savior. It's not our favorite politician. It's the Lord Jesus. Here's something that I wrote this week as I was preparing. The Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane was restoring the lost Garden of Eden with his sacrificial yes, a place of union between God and man. He wants heaven on earth, and he wants to use you and I as co-laborers to accomplish this. Not only that, but he puts heaven inside of us. What we cannot do is we cannot continue to bring our swords into gardens where the Lord requires obedience to his will and his ways, and then wage what we would say holy wars that we are not called to wage. If we keep striking off ears like Peter did, then people will never hear what we have to say. It is time for us to drop our swords that we've taken up and exchange them for a cross. The people around Jesus never quite understood the mission of the Messiah. The multitudes, as he said, then tried to crown him king because they thought, like David, he would raise up an army of multitudes, that he would overthrow Rome and their enemies. Yet one greater than David was here. They wanted him to conquer their enemies, yet he was teaching them to love their enemies and conquering the true enemy that was sin and Satan. He wants to conquer human hearts with his love, to restore the lost image of sons and daughters, and do away with the dim image of what we think he should look like. A nation is not changed by Christian domination and sprinkling in Jesus to the equation, but by heralding the gospel that is the power of God into salvation. The same Peter that once denied the Lord and struck at a man's neck but hit his ear is the same Peter that would march the gospel to Rome and let his enemies crucify him upside down. The Christian peasants were mostly excluded from the paganistic society of Rome. They were hated. And when they weren't being enslaved, accused, and horrendously murdered by the empire, these seemingly powerless forerunners of ours in the faith, while having no army, no political sway, no voting rights, converted the greatest empire, no demand, in a couple of hundred years to Christianity. Our elected leaders can make amazing changes, or horrible changes, every 4 years or so, and then another leader will come in and undo it all. Every empire in history has proven to fall, but the gospel and the church remain. Which mission will we take up in 2024? There is one Savior and one gospel. And our gospel is not a message of Christian domination, but of the wondrous and victorious love of God that has overthrown the powers of darkness. What I'm not saying is to not be involved in things like voting or live with your head in the sand to be ignorant of the issues in our nation. It's a privilege that we have to get to do this. It's blood bought. What I am saying is to behold the man and see that there's a better and more efficient way of seeing a nation turn back to God. Picture this. Jesus is before Pilate. They've brought him in. And Pilate's questioning him. Who are you? Where are you from? He knew something was different. His wife tried to warn him. You know, husbands should probably listen to their wives more, right? If Pilate did, things might have looked different. And Jesus is brought before him, and Pilate says, "What is truth?" And Jesus just stands there, because he is truth. And Pilate, when he presents him to the people, he says, "Behold the man." Which is a profound statement. I always just read over this statement, and Pastor Michael talked to me about it one day in the hall at school. And he said, "Blake, in that moment when Pilate said, 'Behold the man,' what he was saying was so prophetic. Was that in that moment he was saying, this is what humanity it was supposed to look like. This is the picture painted. A humble Lord, God became a man, put himself in flesh, stood before people in our place in humility. He didn't love his own life unto death. And he's not asking us today to do anything he didn't do himself. And he gives us his grace to do it, to live a life of humility and meekness and love and power. And at the same time, you see what God looks like. Not like any other God, not vengeful, not full of anger and wrath. It's for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Not that he was so fed up with humanity that he sent his son, or that he so loved the world that he sent his only son. This is the true gospel. And so when Pilate said, 'Behold the man,' we really should behold the man and see this is what it looks like to be truly human. That the word sin is hamartia, which means it's like a description. If an archer was to shoot at a target and completely miss it, it's a failure to be what you were created to be. That's what sin is. Not just a bad decision. And Jesus, what he restored was more than what Adam lost. That he did give us his life. And he puts his life in us and his glory in us. And he calls us to be in union with him every single day. And that answer to all of this is to just simply behold the man. St. Augustine has another quote that says, love God and then do as you please. Because if you love God first, you're going to do whatever's right after that. Because your heart's swayed by him. Your heart's influenced by the cross above anything else. And salvation is not merely a destination. It's not just a get out of hell free card. It's not just a place in the sky when you die. But this is what salvation is, and Jesus prayed it. Eternal life. This is eternal life, that they would know you. This is Jesus praying to his Father. This is eternal life, that they would know you and the Lord Jesus Christ whom you sent. So eternal life is here. It's today. The scripture says that now is the day of salvation. Not today. It says now is the day of salvation. Today is the day where your image is restored, where you are brought back into the fullness of what God has made you to be. Now I'll close with this. Jeremiah 6:16 is the scripture that I referenced. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look. And ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls there. Everything else will tire us out. That scripture in Isaiah that you've wearied yourself with multiple ways. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's not just about heaven. It's about everything. He has to be everything to us. And so my goal tonight was to hopefully cause a heart to flutter again. To have someone go home and weep on the pages of their Bible again. To be at work and become overwhelmed by the presence of God. To no longer carry offenses that we've held on to or hurt or shame that we won't let go of. To fearlessly be able to declare the gospel, to truly love our enemies. To spur our hearts to seek God and his nature and to find your identity in him. And have you believe that you can actually lay your hands upon the sick and believe that they'll be well. And to believe that you can have more fire and zeal than when you were young. Then we go from glory to glory. Thank you, Jesus. Heaven records our faith, not our compromise. We see it in Abraham and Sarah. You read in the New Testament, in Romans and Hebrews. Abraham, the father of the faith, and Sarah, you know, she laughed at the Lord when he gave his word that you're going to be pregnant, you're going to bear the kid. And Abraham, who took it into his own hands, who didn't wait on the Lord, who didn't have faith at one time, that scripture calls him the father of our faith. And so tonight, if you've maybe in your heart, you know, like you're convicted and, you know, I've left the ancient path, the ancient gospel. And I could go ahead and ask for the worship team to come if you would. But if you're in that place tonight where you feel that in your heart, I've wandered away, that just in a moment, you can see the beauty of Christ tonight. That in a moment, he can change it all. That your heart can flutter again and you can burn again. And just like when I saw those two girls at the youth praying, how I felt really discouraged at first, the Lord caused me to burn. And I've been experiencing union and love like never before at home. And tonight, I really believe that the Lord wants to impart this to you, and I believe that he wants to touch the sick tonight. We've been seeing so many people healed. Just a couple of weeks ago, I teach a Jesus School online class as well, and we were praying together as a class for one another, and I had everyone put in the chat what they needed healing from, and one of the guys who's never on the camera, he's always got his camera off, he never really speaks in the group, he put in the chat, I have constant ringing in the ears. And so we together prayed as a school, and I saw a picture of the Lord calming the wind and the waves. And I said, Keith, I believe that just as Jesus calmed the wind and the waves, he's going to calm the ringing in your ears. And he said, as soon as I said it, it immediately stopped. And we've been hearing so many testimonies at school about people being healed and their families being healed. And the Lord loves us so much that he took stripes on his back. For the healing of his children is what the scripture says. And so tonight, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for imparting into us again the true gospel, Lord. Thank you for calling us to yourself, Lord, for reestablishing the dreams, Lord, that maybe people have given up on. Let us know tonight, God, that you have paid a high price, Lord, not with silver or gold, but with your blood, Lord. That we would be one with you, Lord. That you've given it all, Lord, that tonight we'll give it all to you. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you touch bodies tonight by the power of your blood. If you're struggling with a sickness in your body, I am tonight as well. There's things I'm believing for. Just lift your hands and let the Lord minister to you and become more aware of Jesus than your issue, than your illness. And Holy Spirit, I pray that your fire would fall on us tonight. That your healing presence would flow tonight, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Touch your children, Lord. You said healing is the children's bread. Thank you. Make us hope again, Lord. Let us forgive each other, Lord. Your scripture says that the world would know we are Christians by our love. We choose you, Jesus. We choose the ancient path, Lord. And we're not going to look back, Lord. And in 2024, we'll make the right choice. We see you rightly, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.